Okay, hi everyone. And the call is now being recorded. Before I turn the call over to Michael Pelage, why don't I go ahead and just acknowledge the folks that are on the call. We've got Paul Smosher, Eric Berner-Williams, Mikey O'Connor, Michael Pelage, Pam DeSicchio, and John McElwain. Has anyone else joined the call? Hearing none, Michael Pelage, why don't you take over the microphone?
Okay. Thank you, Craig. So I guess let me start again. Today's probably going to be a short call because there's only been one new writing assignment that has been submitted, and that was sort of my component. Pam, yes?
Derek, please start with the SOI request.
Okay. Not a problem, Eric. Is there anyone who has had a change in their statement of interest since they have originally submitted it? Or is it, that might impact the work upon which we're doing? Eric, did that address your concerns?
It's just a standard process element that, as chair, I think you should be conducting at the beginning of each call.
And I appreciate that, and I'm just making sure that we tick the box.
Michael,
all right?
Yes, this is Craig. I know Pam. I will send Pam the statement of interest form this afternoon, since we haven't collected one, and she's new to the group. So we'll have that before the next call.
Excellent. And as I said, Eric, what we will do is, although the wiki, we have collected all the statement of interest, unfortunately, somehow with the wiki they never got up there, but as part of our final work product, we will have a collective compilation of all the statement of interest so that there is no question as to the output of this group. So again, I thank you, and we'll now move forward here.
Michael, there are two related issues.
Okay.
The first one is the SOIs from the original participants were no longer active. I know there's been a mention of them in the recent past about whether or not to include their SOIs in the final work product. I believe that they should be included as they had an influence on the original directions the working group took.
I agree.
Second point, thank you. And the second point is, Michael, the purpose of the SOI check at the beginning of each meeting is not to determine if SOIs have been sent. That is, of course, an important issue, but rather to determine if any of the working group members have had a change in their circumstances since the last call or the last time they affirmed that their SOI was correct. So it's a continuous duty rather than a one-time function. Thank you.
I agree as well, Eric. And as I said, thank you for that point, and as I said, we'll over the next hopefully 6 to 8 weeks, as we wrap up our work, that will be part of every call. So thank you again for that reminder. Good governance, which I do not object to. Okay, so we're getting back to the agenda. I have submitted a document that hopefully we can talk about, just to get some feedback from the group for those that may have read it. What I would like to do is Pam and John and Jonathan. Now, Jonathan is not on the call, but we got Pam and John McElwain. I believe the three of you were looking to sort of touch base and perhaps sync up and work on one of the other components. Is that correct from my notes that I had jotted down from last week? Yes,
yeah,
or no?
Yeah, we have a conference call scheduled immediately following this conference call. We're supposed to look at, I think it was table 3.1, you discuss that as part of the final work product.
Okay. All right. Okay. As long as there is work going on, that's my main thing. I appreciate that. And if in fact you're able to produce anything with regard to that table 3.1, in advance of the next call, that would be great. Is there anyone else?
Yes, Pam. I did submit to Craig a block of writing to be considered for the conclusion of Section 3. Craig, do you have that? Did you have it, Michael? Because I'm not sure if I got Craig's.
I don't have it, Pam.
You don't?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let me check. Hold on. When might have you sent this? When might... wait, hold on. I think, Craig, I have something from Pam sent on Monday, and it was sent to both me and you at 2:49 p.m. on Monday.
So I'm not sure if we want to review it or not, but it was just my first attempt at one of my assignments last time was to come up with a conclusion for Section 3, and I just had mocked up that table so that we could look at it and see if that was kind of the right idea, or if not, to point me in the right direction.
Okay. Title, objective. So this is the summary, or no, this is the table that you're going to be working with.
No. This is something different. One of my suggestions is that because of all the different data that's in Section 3, I'd gotten kind of lost. And I had suggested that we have kind of a conclusion at the bottom for all the main points. And so Craig said, okay, why don't you go ahead and...
Section 3.9, basically.
Yeah. And so I took a stab at it, and I'm not sure if that would be useful or if what we're looking for or not.
I put it this way. I pulled up the document while you were just explaining. I put it this way. I think that this is something that is constructive. Craig, could you perhaps forward that out to the list?
I'm sorry, Michael. I don't have it. So maybe there was an issue with my email address. But,
maybe.
I'm going to put it this way. I'm going to forward it to you. Actually, I will just forward it to the list.
Yeah.
I'll just forward it to the list and make things a little more efficient that way. Okay. Give me a second here.
Okay, I'm going to go back on mute.
Back on mute. All right. Thank you, Pam. HSTLD, control, copy, forward.
And while Michael is doing that, before we started the recording, Eric asked if we could start using Adobe Connect again for these meetings. That way, if folks want to raise their hand to ask questions or to form a queue for asking questions, they can do that rather than interrupting the call with a verbal request. So I will provide the Adobe link I'll just send out a new or an updated meeting request that'll have the Adobe link in it, so we can start using that going forward.
And I can put it this way, Craig, I think that's probably a good idea, particularly as we're trying to polish some of these final documents off. As I said, this document that Pam just had now, instead of forwarding it to the group, it would have been nicer to pull up on Adobe Connect. So I believe that would be a prudent course of action over the next, 6 weeks as we're trying to, no, not 6 weeks, 4 weeks. Or 3 weeks. Over the next couple of weeks that we're trying to wrap up our work, having that resource I think would be constructive. So good call there. And that was Section 3.9, correct? The text we were going to propose Section 3.9 text. So perhaps if I could go through and Craig, do you have a list of who was assigned what sections?
Sure do.
And then
you can see on Section 1, which is the executive summary, we've got yourself and Lynn. Section 2 is the problem goal statement, which is yourself and me, and there is some draft language in the report now. Section 3 is the summary of the fact-based research. set the introduction, overview introduction of efforts in accordance with the AOC. You gave that to yourself. Also, summary of the calls, the number of participants, the statement of interest. You put yourself down for that, but
yep.
That should probably be more me because it seems administrative. Got the summary of the status reports, which is myself, and the public forums, which is also me. You've got the original BITS paper and the consultation with ICANN, which is Paul. You've got the background of the RFI and summary of calls with the RFI respondents, which is me. And then we've got the trustee summary call, which is Lynn, which is done. And then now we have this new Section 9, which is kind of the summary of the outreach or the conclusions around the outreach, which is what Pam drafted and sent to you. And we move on to Section 4, which is this comparable models and metrics, which is what John said that he, Pam, and Jonathan have a call immediately following this call today. And then Section 5 is the range of options considered by the group. We've got yourself, Paul, and Stuck Mikey O'Connor.
And have so in addition, Mikey, have you been able, you're still suffering from writer's block, correct?
This is Mikey. Yeah, I'm actually just not sure what to write. You know, we haven't considered a very wide range of options. We've sort of been running down a fairly narrow path, which is pretty well documented, and so I didn't know what to do.
Well, I mean, what I was trying to do here is, you know, obviously, I think BITS has been very, consistent with their approach forward. I've tried to put forward the scorecard at various times, and I think you have articulated the need, to perhaps recalculate or reanalyzing what our problem goal is and whether we need to start over again. So what I was trying to do was to make sure that in our final report there was a proper sort of, we were capturing the essence of the different discussions that have been taking place over the last year. So that's one of the reasons I wanted to give you that opportunity, because I would feel if it was just, you know, perhaps my score, you know, the scorecard and the BITS piece, that there would not be the richness of some of the discussions that have taken place over the last year. So that is why I was trying to provide you that opportunity. If, you know, you feel that, you know, your contributions may perhaps be better articulated in, you know, the summary or next steps or something like that, you know, obviously, you know, not going to pressure you into writing text. I'll just leave that to you. And I was just trying to provide you the opportunity to have your concerns properly documented and incorporated in the final report. So that's where I was trying to come from as the chair. Okay?
Okay. Well, then I wouldn't put my stuff in that section.
Okay.
You know, what I would...
perhaps in the goal statement, and maybe put some.
Well, I mean, you know, I've still got all these stupid questions, and so, you know, my thought would be put it in either a minority statement or the question that I have about this whole document is this document simply a documentation exercise, in which case I would tend to be pretty relaxed and say, you know, great, let's document what we've got so far. Or is this document intended to be a recommendation for action moving forward, in which case I would be pretty strenuous in saying, look, we haven't really identified who the customer is, what the requirements are, what a secure TLD looks like, blah, 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 all my usual questions that you guys have heard ad nauseum. And I just don't know. I mean, reading this, if it's a documentation of the work, then I would tend to be pretty quiet in it.
Well, I think what happens is, I do think there are some specific proposals for moving forward, right? The scorecard, as I've envisioned it, is, if you will, a proposal regarding a framework. I think the proposals that BITS and the Financial Service Roundtable have been putting forward have been perhaps a little more, shall we say, concrete with the mandatory nature. So there are some things on the table, I would submit to you with the scorecard approach, what I'm trying to advance more is a framework and the recognition that there are some, there is the need to do some more work regarding the individual criteria components, but have put forward a way in which end consumers can perhaps, use this as a tool. So there are some proposals on the table. As I said, if you want to comment on those proposals, as I said, you're free to. So I will leave that at that. Go ahead, Mikey.
No, I think it was Eric.
Oh, Eric, go ahead.
Thank you, Chair, Mr. Chair. Mikey, I think that you should write as you originally said, that we've been stuck in a rut and haven't really deviated from the initial, I hesitate to call it a plan, but whatever it is, your original comment seemed to me straight on, and that's actually what I think you should document, is the act, and tell it like it is. And
this is Mikey.
Observe that advocacy of a particular form or a particular compromise is—it's not really the proper function of a chair. But let's—I just want to stick with Mikey's issues at the moment.
That's the reason that I raised the question I did, which is, if we're documenting what we've done so far in the report, then I think that the report's a pretty good summary of that. That's, and then section 1.0, range of options considered, could have the two, and that would be a good description of the range of options that we've considered so far.
With just the BITS proposal, basically.
Eric, the scorecard has been out there for
nine
months.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's sort of two, scorecard and BITS, maybe even more, but the issue that I've had all along is the one of we sort of got very quickly to an answer on approach, and if we're going to advance this, circling back to what you said, Michael, if we're going to advance this as a proposal for action by ICANN, then yeah, I would want to raise some issues about the range of options we've considered, and I'm not sure the best way to do that. I think what I'll do is start framing my little rant, and then we can figure out where the best place to put it would be.
Okay, and as I, so what happens here, Eric and Mikey, is I think as we, I would say the group has reached consensus that we want to bring closure to this process, right? So we have worked for a year. What is it?
What process are we bringing closure to?
This group, Eric.
Oh, you want to shut down the group?
No, I want to bring it to a closure. We've been working now for a year and 3 months. We have undertaken an RFI. We've sat there and talked with other experts. I would say we have done more fact-based gathering than any other advisory group within the ICANN structure. I feel rather really firm in making that statement. So what we've done is
I really don't have the experience to offer whether the RSAC or the SAC has done more fact gathering or not. But I take your point that you think we've done.
Well, what happens though, Eric? If you look, Eric, I don't know if you were participating in the group in the time, but Dave Piscitello provided a summary of all the SAC work and was submitted to this group. So the SAC work actually has been incorporated and is one of the data points that which we, at least I, have taken into account. I read all the SAC reports which Dave Piscitello had summarized. So that is part of our fact-based gathering that we have taken into account.
I think you were making the point that the HSTLD AG has done more fact gathering than any other advisory group, and my point was simply that
there's a difference. Okay, the advisory group, Eric, can we finish?
I understand, Eric, that you're making a statement of personal feeling, but that doesn't actually make it true.
Okay, Eric, so let me ask you this question. Your support group, in which I monitor as well, what fact-based gathering have they done?
I'm sorry, Michael, what are you talking about?
The support group for applicant support that Avery is chairing or has chaired previously.
What's the relevance of this?
Well, you're sitting there, and here's the relevance, Eric, okay? I've been a chair, and I appreciate that you're joining this call, but there are people that have been constructively participating, and I appreciate your contributions as well. The group has agreed that we are going to prepare a report. That has been agreed to. We're going to prepare a final report, and our goal has been to submit this report in advance of the San Francisco meeting. Okay? That is the goal that we've drived to. This has been agreed to by the group. It has been agreed to in connection with ICANN staff. That is where we're going. I do not see the futility in continuing to conduct this group's work at this stage past San Francisco. There have been two proposals. We've had two proposals. We've, as I said, conducted the RFI. We've done a lot of data gathering. And what we now need to do as a group is provide our opinions. If you feel, in your opinion, that I don't know what your opinion is, Eric, but you're entitled to your opinion just as Mikey's entitled to his opinion, just as Paul, John, and everyone else is. So my job as chair is to move forward with bringing closure to this group, producing a final report for San Francisco. That is what has been agreed to, and that is what we are going to do. Okay? Any problems with that, Eric?
Well, it's a surprising formulation.
And why does that surprise you? Why does that surprise you? We've had, and Craig, I think you could perhaps document that we have had numerous discussions with staff where we have discussed this with the call of working towards a final report by San Francisco. Can you verify that, Craig?
Yes, I agree with that. And what may very well come out in the recommendation section of this report is to continue work either potentially in this group or some reconstituted group with much more DNS related security expertise. But I agree with Michael that the group committed to preparing a final report, and that seems to have been the track that we've been on.
Craig, the issue I have here, the surprise, is the finalness of the report and the preconception that there is follow-on work. In addition to this being slightly incongruous, there's the issue of several participants in the group expressing concern over the coherence or the lack of coherence of the work product to date. And the the utility of issuing a final report for which the purpose of the exercise fundamentally does not appear to be the subject of consensus within the participants who've been involved, old as well as new.
So as I said, Eric, what I need to do here is we're a half hour in, and we need to begin to address text that's in the final report. As I've offered to Mikey, if you want to figure out where to include your comments, concerns, not a problem. Please have at it. Okay?
Well, thank you very much, Michael, for your generous offer.
No, it's not an offer. It's what I have to do to make sure that all the viewpoints are heard. It's fact-based gathering, and it's making sure that all viewpoints are documented and recorded. That's what the affirmation of commitment states, and that's how we've operated this working group, advisory group, or this group since day one.
Well,
all right.
I hope the purpose of this discussion has clarified Mikey's issues. I hope it's helped Mikey. I really was hoping to speak with he more than you, but that's all right.
Well, what happens is this is a group. So part of what the calls are designed to do is to try to discuss documentation. And, you know, that's where we're trying to go. So if Mikey can write something that he wants to put in the report, we can use this time more efficiently to discuss his contribution. Okay? But to just sit there and say, I'm not happy, or whatever, is not constructive. So we really need to reset and move forward, okay? So what we can do here is we have 30 minutes left. The only written contribution that we have is the scorecard, which I have put forward for, what is it, Section 5, range of options. So anyone would like to comment on that particular proposed submission, that text, this is the time to do it.
I've already sent a detailed comment to the list, and by the way, it would be helpful if we had an agenda so that others would know that this was going to be discussed in today's call. I had no idea that it would be.
Okay, Eric, we will work on that, okay?
So let's just say from, this is Craig, going forward, that the agenda is and will continue to be to review and discuss the text that's been submitted prior to the call. I thought that was understood. If it's not, then I apologize, and we'll make sure that when the meeting notice is redistributed with the Adobe Connect, that we also include the notice about always talking about statement of interest at the top of the call, and also the items that will be discussed in that week's particular call.
Craig, if I may be so bold as to suggest, it might be useful to decide which sections of the report are the subject of a day's conference call. There are several of them. Just making the entire report the agenda is not very specific.
Well, what happens, though, Eric, is we're all volunteers. We all have jobs. We're all trying to do this in connection with our other jobs. So when the text comes in, sometimes, as I said, Pam, John, and others were trying to meet. They didn't meet. So to sit there and put something on the proposal. So here's what happens, Eric. I understand you have issues, okay? That's not a problem. I need to move forward. So I think we've worked quite well for a year. And, you know, right now I need to drive this group to move towards producing a final work product. So I duly noted all of your concerns. We will try to address all your concerns. But I need to move on, okay? So is there anyone that has a problem with me moving? Excuse me, Eric. Let me finish. So before I do this, and I'm not taking a unilateral action here, I am going to put forward, I'm going to go through everyone on the list, on the call, because this is a group here. Is there anyone having a problem with me moving forward with discussing the proposals and putting an end to some of the administrative concerns that Eric had raised, which we will address offline in advance of next call? So, starting at the top of the call, Paul, do you have a problem with moving forward with substantive discussion?
I don't have a problem with it. I will admit that I haven't had a chance to review that material either. But no, if there's enough feedback available, please go ahead and proceed.
Okay. Mikey.
Sorry, I was on mute. I guess it would be nice if we could sort of get one more or two more rounds of conversation rather than just shutting Eric off. That feels uncomfortable to me. So my two cents would be to try and close it, but maybe close it quickly rather than just chop it off.
Pam.
So I'm ready to discuss this particular document. I'm good with it.
John?
I'm ready to discuss it. I've heard enough of the administration back and forth.
Okay. So what I'm going to do, Eric, you have 1 minute. So there you go. I will defer to Mikey. You have 60 seconds. Go. Floor is yours.
You seem to think of this as some kind of a contest. I don't think that it is. I think it's an attempt to collaborate. The issue of discussing a section for which there's no text means we're discussing why we don't have text. For instance, asking Mikey what are the issues in his writing block. If we go through the document one section at a time, planned per call, then these issues will be surfaced. If we don't, then we simply deal with text as it opportunistically comes in. We may never understand why we don't have a particular piece of text or why the text we end up getting doesn't actually address the issues that we really have. Thank you for your minute, Michael.
Thank you. Okay, proposal. We have 25 minutes. Pam, John, you've read the proposal. Comments? Pam, you're up first.
Okay, and sorry, I'm not sure. Can you hear me?
We can hear you fine. You are talking. You've not hit the mute button.
Oh, well, it's my phone keeps dropping it. But anyway, so I'd really like the framework. I like the voluntary nature of it. I like the, I don't know what the right word is, but the adaptability of it, so that each one of the industry verticals that have specific criteria that they want to add to the matrix can add that to the matrix. And obviously there'll have to be processes set up and review groups and all that good stuff. But I like the framework. I have quite a few more detailed comments about once we get into the point of actually working on some of the details of that framework. I think there's still quite a lot of work to be fleshed out. But the general idea of the framework and the way it's set up in order to have the criteria and have different groups be able to submit their criteria and then have an ICANN group focus on the DNS criteria because there really isn't any out there. So in general, those are the pieces I liked. And I still feel like there's details that need to be worked out, but the general framework is good.
Okay. John, you're up.
I can just echo those same comments. I really like the framework. I think it Mikey's issues from being on conference calls with him for the last year and a half. And I think that kind of pulling this up to a higher level will probably solve some of the concerns that people have, that we were getting too into the weeds on the set of controls. So I like this from a consensus building standpoint. I think it works. I like the opportunity to have additional pillars that are specific to certain concerns. I think we've been looking at this more in a .com model, but this is really going to be important for the new GTLD rollout, where domains are going to be less, content neutral, shall we say. It's going to be a .doctor or a .doc, and it will be good to have the ability for the healthcare industry rate the safety and security, or come up with some trust pillar in association with that. And then the only other comment that I have is that I do have some little issues. I'm just going to give this as a hypothetical. It's not a big point for me. But, for instance, changing the on the third page, blue to maybe orange.
Because I had orange. And the reason I switched is when I actually sent a draft copy to Craig, he's like, "Oh, is that brown?" So I was like, when I realized that the color blue was perhaps a little more distinct, and that was actually one of the color criteria. Blue, red, green, and yellow were actually the four colors that Telecordia used in the .NET RFP back in 2005. So,
and the point is not to discuss colors, but what I think getting to Pam's point, there might be little tweaks that need to be made when we kind of go forward if this is the chosen path. That would like not to be foreclosed, so we might need to add some language that would allow for some of the details to be further crafted. But that's it.
All right, excellent. Eric or Mikey, have you had a chance to read the proposal? Any comments?
Go ahead, Mikey.
This is Mikey. I've read it. I'm not terribly unhappy with it. My problem is that I don't know I just have a bunch of questions. I guess I'll pass.
Well, if you could use this time to raise your questions, it would be helpful for me who wrote this section so that I could perhaps change it. If you could frame that in the context of some of your broader concerns, because what we're trying to do here, Mikey, is, again, bring a responsible close to this work here. So,
yeah, I get that. If I sort of step back and I say, who's the customer of a high-security TLD, and what problem does a high-security TLD solve for them? And I sort of hypothesize a few customers. I mean, you know, these are really basic questions. These are things like, you know, are we aiming this at a registrant? Are we aiming it at an end user, et cetera? The question that comes to mind is, let's say that the whole grid is green, just for sake of argument. Is the TLD actually any more secure? And part of the reason that I was so entranced with that little article that I forwarded to the list last week is because of the kind of underlying issue that maybe the TLD isn't any more secure for having gotten through this checklist. At the fundamental level, that's the problem that I'm trying to wrestle with. But, I think the thing to do is for me to frame that up in words so that you don't have to cope with these questions on the fly, Michael. But,
So let me try to respond to that, because I think from the very beginning, and this is one of the things Evan from ALAC was originally raising concerns of, how does this benefit the end user? And this is some of the concerns we talked about with having a seal. What does a seal do? You know, what benefit does that provide? So instead of getting into a seal, not seal, all that other stuff, the idea of this was just as, you know, it was not meant to be the be-all, end-all, and not just on security. As you can see, I've tried to downplay the security and make this more about trust, right? Because one of the questions that I think
I find very interesting is if you were to go to somebody and say, how do you choose a registrar? Or how do you choose, you know, what decision do you make in registering a domain name in what TLD? The people probably don't have a lot of tools disposable to them. So the whole idea of the scorecard is not to be a definitive seal or certification of trust or not trust, but it is designed to be a tool to help someone potentially make a more informed decision. So that is the objective, and it's an objective sort of tying into some of the concern or some of the comments that both Pam and John had raised about the flexibility to realize there are probably going to be other types of TLDs. So, Eric, one of the things I think you probably have some experience with some of the stuff you've done with CORE is some of the cities or cultural TLDs, right? So what happens is, with regard to cultural TLDs, perhaps UNESCO comes out and says, look, if you want to be a responsible cultural TLDs, here are some aspects that one should have. So it's very possible that UNESCO may come forward and say, if you're a cultural TLD, here are some of the principles or elements one would operate by. It's also possible that some of the cities, there might be some common governance aspects that cities may do. So the design of this framework here was something that could scale and evolve and not necessarily be a definitive sign of trust. So that was kind of my middle ground, which I was trying to achieve in this proposal, recognizing, I think, some of the valid concerns that you have raised since the very beginning of the group's work regarding the, you know, attestation of what someone could trust or rely upon based upon a seal. So does that perhaps address some of your concerns better, or are we still in your unconfort zone?
I think that what it gets back to is the basic question of, you know, we originally started out as the high security TLD advisory group, and I think as we've morphed towards trust, towards, you know, this notion of being a toolkit for a consumer, et cetera, that what we need to do is sort of morph our underlying assumption set at the same time, so that what we've got is a report that says, you know, look, what we started working on was high security TLD. Where we've wound up is a different place. Here's how it's different. And then it's essentially take a snapshot of that and say, you know, this is where we're at now, and then lay out some steps as to what maybe we think folks ought to do next, and then, you know, carry on from there. So in terms of providing sort of a good example and a good starting point for conversation, I think your document's terrific and you know, very evocative, and so I appreciate a lot the work that you put into it. And you know, it does kind of get back to the range of options issue, but it really gets back to sort of the range of missions issue that we've been grappling with all along. And I'm happy to sort of take at least a horrible first stab at trying to sketch some of that out and getting it out to the list.
Pam, was that you?
That was me. I was wanting to do a quick comment to one of Mikey's earlier comments whenever you get a chance.
Please do.
So he brought up a very good comment about the fact that just because you've got a compliance and an audit and a seal, even if it's the best, it's no guarantee. So, for example, if you take a look at the big Heartland breach, right, a couple years ago, at the moment of the breach, they were 100% PCI compliant. So it is a major issue that just because you have an audit saying you're compliant, it doesn't really mean you're safe. But what might be good is to put in each one of our option sections the pros and the cons to that approach. And Mikey's point is a really good con of the approach of the scorecard. Just because we score it and we have audits doesn't really mean that it's going to be safe. So that was just my only 2 cents on that, just kind of a pros and a cons of each option.
Okay. Thanks, Pam. And Mikey, and this, I think, ties back into perhaps what Eric may want to broach in his contribution. But I do agree that although trust was somewhat of an element when we originally started, we were definitely much more security-focused at the beginning. And I think that is one of the reasons why we as a group in our report, this is a transition point. I think we have done as much as we have been able to do with the original mandate and scope, and documenting what we've been able to do and putting it in a report provides for that next evolution, right? That next transition point to what takes place. So that's where I'm, again, as his chair, I'm trying to work with the group as a whole in getting to that next transition point of evolution. Okay, so Eric, you now have the floor.
Well, thank you, Michael. This is Eric Winter-Williams. I have the same observation that Pam has made, which actually I included in my response to John Levin earlier today. The fact that something is scored or audited really doesn't have any, it doesn't have very much predictive power. What is more, we actually can't associate, this has been a problem of mess that I've raised in the past, we really can't associate the auditing function and the controls which are audited with the actual properties of registries currently in existence. So to explain the mail I sent to John and to the group earlier today, the scorecard would not allow us to make a reasonable statement about .mil or .edu or .coop or .museum or .cat or the Arabic language only new IDN TLDs for Saudi Arabia and other Arabic-speaking countries. We can't actually make sensible statements about the security of these as defined in the original BITS paper, that is, broadly speaking, having something to do with the properties of the registrants, not properties of the registry. And that is a problem, that whatever it is that this work product is, we actually can't correlate it to anything that currently exists. And I'll stop with that. Thank you very much for the minute.
You're not on the timeline here on this one, so please take some more time, and perhaps you could maybe respond to this. So when I look at .mil and I look at .coop, right, I do see some common points. They both basically are dealing with registrant verification. You do not get a .mil until the registry has verified the identity. In .coop, they have a verification or a credentials check. So if one was to have a pillar and call that pillar registrant verification, and it would be you use, you know, some type of two-factor verification of the identity of the individual, which is periodically verified every 12 months. Let's just suppose those are some of the elements. The scorecard potentially would have application to say, by the way, .mil does 0.123456, just like .coop does 0.123456. .cat, as you're very well aware of, they have criteria regarding what is it? There's even a referral where a .cat registrant could attest to being in the community. So there are different ways of coming up with, if you will, criteria and attestations that I think are not necessarily security related, and that's why. Again, getting back to how I think we have reached a transition point is I think our initial focus of just purely security kind of started us down a path that really would have been better approached at the higher trust and security and those aspects. So can you respond to that? Do you agree or disagree?
Well, the purpose of the MIL domain and the purpose of the CAT domain are not identical. So the consequence of the registration policy is a reputation for the zone, a reputation for the namespace, or the existence of registrants whose purpose is consistent with the registry's stated purpose. So these are variations on some single definition of what the security, or in your current preferred term of reference, trust is. That is, there's not one single definition of security, or trust for that matter, but there's one that is specific to each one of these registry propositions that's manifested in their registration policy. It is true that if this was itemized in a checklist, it would be possible to say, well, here's the abstract checklist, and the following registries appear to honor in principle, if not in fact, the structure that is in the checklist. But the concern that I expressed months ago, and I don't expect anyone to have remembered it, is that we can't actually correlate the controls and the audit to the security of things which we know are secure. That is, if we say MIL is secure, we can't actually take the existing audits and controls and really find the security of MIL anywhere in the audits and controls which Andy Welsh developed during the first half of the lifetime of this working group. I hope that responds to your question. Thank you.
Okay. I think that's helpful. And yes, I think it is helpful. And one of the reasons, and I think this is what was articulated in Dave Piscitello's comments about deconstructing the monolith here, is instead of us trying to create the mother of all lists, by creating some pillars that perhaps may involve audits, instead of us trying to reinvent the wheel, if in fact a registry or registrar has received a SAS 70 certification or an ISO 2700 certification, let's just try to document that without having to have that entity invest more time or spend more money in paying an auditor. So again, we're just trying to provide snapshots or documentation of attestations that are widely accepted in the broader business, I would say business community. And, you know, so that is where I think in one of the things that I had proposed or called for regarding the DNS elements is I do think that's something that needs to be further investigated and would definitely, as you see in the report, call for having ESSAC involved in co-chairing that particular group initiative within ICANN. So did that, are we on the same, are we driving towards the same page here, Eric, or are we still divergent? It would help me bring a little closure, at least to this call. Are we perhaps pointing in the same direction or not?
Have you had a chance to review the written comments I sent?
I have read them. I will reread them again to make sure that we're on the same page or attempting to be on the same page. But based upon the discussion that we've had today, are we potentially addressing your concerns or not? So I will read them after this call. I will read them as I go to the airport to pick up my brother. I will read them. But if you could just give me some sense of yes or no, or am I, I would like to have some feedback based on the call today and what we've discussed of whether we're potentially addressing your concerns or not.
I think of all of the issues I attempted to point out, the one that concerns me the most is capture, which you've phrased as delegation. I'm not comfortable with delegating to first responsibility for the entire, all possible financial applications of the DNS, or to the American Medical Association, all medical applications of the DNS. I'm concerned actually not so much for the registry proposition itself, but even for ICANN itself becoming the target of industry groups which seek to capture legitimacy in the online area by being the first in a race to get their notion of what constitutes a correct pillar to ICANN before their competition. So I'm concerned that the model you propose with the delegation lacks as yet protection from capture. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. And so again, let me. This goes to the point as far as what I'm proposing. One of the things that I propose to do is to decouple this from the new GTLD process, which has generally been a sentiment that the majority of the group has supported. If in fact these elements somehow were mandated into the applicant guidebook, I could share your concern. I do think it's important to note that there are going to be some groups that will continue to advocate ICANN to have their interests protected through the applicant guidebook. Okay, and as I said, I want to try to bifurcate that discussion. What we're dealing with here is a voluntary program. Okay, so in theory, this program will have no impact on how ICANN goes about selecting particular applicants to run specific strings for specific purposes. Okay, so I think while I will not, as I said, I will respect your opinion on capture if those criteria are imposed in the selection process, but we've decoupled that here in what we're doing, right? We're just focusing on voluntary programs, and, if BITS wants to come forward and put forth their proposed criteria for sort of comparison on what is a good actor or a bad actor within a specific zone, and the World Bank wants to come forward with criteria, that is not a problem. So the idea for capture of meaning BITS was the first one and they will be the only one that sits in the slot of speaking on behalf of the financial services, I don't support that concept, and I specifically have tried to articulate in the scorecard model of how this framework would work to allow other people. So, to me, financial and banking services would be an umbrella, and BITS could be just one set of criteria, much like, the World Bank or the Swiss Banking Association could submit their own thing. So I think that potentially addresses the concerns regarding capture with this program, but I hear and understand your concerns regarding the applicant guidebook, but that, I think, is not part of what we're doing right now. That would be my sort of comment. So does that address your concern or not?
Capture is a constant problem. This applicant guidebook for this round is a problem in a fixed point in time.
Okay. All right. So it's 1:30. Constructive call. Started out a little rocky, but we were able to make some positive progress, and I thank everyone for their patience and their work effort. As I said, we will meet next week, same time, same bat channel. I will try to have an agenda that Craig and I will work on that we will submit at least 24 hours before the call, based upon the text that we have received within that, pre-24-hour time frame. So any final comments? As usual, I will start at the top of the list. Paul?
No, I'm good.
Excellent. Eric?
Thank you.
Mikey?
I'm fine. Thanks, Mike.
Pam?
I'm good.
John?
No further comments. Pam and Jonathan, I'll see you on the conference call in a few minutes.
Did Jonathan join the call late?
Not that I'm aware of.
Well, maybe I won't.
Well, at least you got Pam. Two out of three in bed. Thank you very much, everyone. Have a good one. Bye.
Greg?
left.